Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are happy days. These days are tell them to me.
Goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Seems so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
Monday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day.
Happy days, ladies and gentlemen. In many ways, they did seem happier earlier, although things always change and you always look back at things a little differently. Good morning, everyone. This is James Dick, your host on North Florida Writer Live. It's a beautiful day here in North Florida, warm but not oppressively hot. And we're just blessed to be here today. And we're going to talk about a topic that relates to something we did last week. I'll have my friend Mark Collier, who lives up on a mountainside up there in North Carolina somewhere. He's going to join us in a minute. He's in the wings waiting. But first, I want to do a little commentary about what we're going to talk about. The topic today is an organization called ALEC and its impact on America's state legislatures. A lot of people don't know what ALEC is or what it stands for, but we're gonna get into that a little bit today because I think it might surprise you if you don't know about it. And when you learn about it, you'll understand a little bit better why so many things are happening so fast. For those of us, and that includes me, who've been out of school for a number of generations, we remember the good old days of studying American history and government and learning about the grit, courage, and determination of our founders in creating the American experiment. Those patriots met in hot and unpleasant conditions to hammer out the structure of the new government, a government that in the early days involved citizen legislators who made great sacrifice to attend the meetings and do the people's business. Think about it, folks. They had to travel long distances. They were away from their family for a long time. Most of the travel was by horseback. And they stayed in cramped, hot quarters in Philadelphia, of all places, trying to get things done. And the early legislative sessions were like that as well. Well, let's fast forward to today, and it becomes almost laughable when we look at how our current legislative bodies have changed things. Of course, we can't expect things not to change over time, and with the advent of so many things to make life easier, we shouldn't expect to return to yesterday. But shouldn't we at least expect our legislators to labor over creating bills appropriate for their constituents and in accordance with their needs? And shouldn't they take time to read and analyze every word in every bill? We know about the problems with our federal legislative process, but did you know that the problem is every bit as outlandish at the state level as well? Today's state legislatures are spoon-fed proposed legislation by their leaders, legislation that is largely created far from the seat of power in the states. And while there are many lobby-type organizations pushing this, none is all-encompassing as ALEC, and that's an acronym for the American Legislative Exchange Council. A creation of selective think tanks and well-heeled corporatists, ALEC has members from each state legislature who take the lead within their legislatures to receive and process legislation using documentation from a professional staff within ALEC, which does a lot of the legwork, tailoring laws in such a way that all the state politicians have to do is fill in the blanks. Meanwhile, the politicians say they are working for you, but in reality, They're not working much at all. Instead, they're pushing forward pre-established bills, which have been successful elsewhere. Oh, they tweak them a little bit, make them look a little better. But they're something that was generated from somewhere else, and we don't always know where. Now, my liberal friends will look at me and say, oh, well, that's just because this is a conservative trait, and ALEC is a conservative-leaning body. But ALEC is really a crony capitalist-supported body which leans on conservatives, since the majority of American state legislatures are Republican these days. And despite the fact that Republicans aren't always conservative, they do tend to lean a little bit more that way. But you can rest assured, folks, that when and if things change, as they always do, something else, if not a morphed organization, will show up on the Democratic side. After all, the key job of all legislators these days, Republicans, conservatives, or even independents, regardless of the state or the party, is to raise money for the party and for their own campaign. They strive hard to maintain their cushy and influential positions, come hell or high water. And that's the problem, folks. And we're going to talk about that. And before I bring Mark on in just a minute, I want to go over the pictures quickly. The first two are legislative pictures. It shows the Florida legislature, at least the word up there, and the Florida State Capitol. Now, don't say I'm blaming this all on Florida. I just live in Florida, but I've witnessed it here. I've been to hearings and tried to have make comments about legislative proposals, and basically by the time the public becomes aware of most of it, they're already locked in place. And I always wondered why, and now we know, but we're going to know more about it in a minute. Then there's a picture of the word politics with all kinds of little things all around it. There's so much noise going on that impact things that, legislators, even the good ones, get overwhelmed. So I'm not blaming this all on the legislators at all, but I am saying that they do have a big responsibility to really look at what they're approving and not just somebody handing them a slip in the morning and they go down to the floor and vote, because that's what happens in Washington so much, and it also happens in state capitals as well. Then there's a big pile of cash, piles of it. They say money, right? Money isn't the root of all evil. The desire to possess it, have it control your life, is the root of all evil, and that's what it tends to do if there's too much of it floating around freely. Then there's a picture of the word freedom with barbed wire. You know, when this stuff goes on like this over and over, it eventually takes our freedom away, because guys start passing legislation that really has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be all about. And next is a picture of a large group gathered at a high school recently in Gainesville, here in Florida. That was my Stand By Our Plan organization, which basically held a big corporate organization to a standstill on a major development. It's still out there, folks. It hasn't gone away. But the reason I put the picture up is because we, the people, need to get involved in what goes on in our government, complain about what happens. And sadly, most of us like to sit home. I've decided not to sit home. I got to admit, it causes me some sleepless nights. And it also takes a lot of time, but it's very, very important. If you want America to be the way you think it should be, you got to get involved. We did that. We filled up that auditorium, and we won the vote on a major rezoning, but it'll come back. It always does. Finally, the cross, the Bible, and the flag, representing our tie to God in America, since we were founded under Him. And I think if we'll think more about Him as we live our lives and the way we act, including our legislators, we might be much, much better off. In fact, I know we will. So that's my opening. Let me bring on my mountain man friend, Mark Collier.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am well. It is lovely up here. What's not so good, and let me just chip in something here about this American Legislative Council. I think it's one of these things where it's a good news, bad news kind of thing, because, boy, it sure sounds good in their stated goals, and we have a vote, and, you know, I mean, all this other stuff. It's just corporations do not vote, but, yes, we have a voice and all that, and we're, you know, trying to make things good. It's a little like the what's a good legislative council like you doing in a place like this? Well, what they're doing here is they propose through their corporate board, in which the legislative legislators are intimately involved, model bills, quote unquote, to change rights, often benefit those corporations directly, and their bottom lines at the expense, at public expense. ALEC is a pay-to-play operation where corporations buy a seat and a vote on a task force. Interesting phrase, and I'm
there
sure
goes that nasty word again.
To advance their legislative wish list and can get tax breaks for donations, effectively passing these lobbying costs on to taxpayers. Now, here's what I see. What's strange about this is that there's been a perversion here, and maybe you can elaborate on this. But this organization has made legislators of some 2,000 of these people scattered across the country to actually serve as their lobbyists. Now, legislators are not supposed to be lobbyists. They're supposed to be representatives. That's a perversion of the term and the way the system works. But these folks have, you know, brought these people in and say, oh, here's a great idea. You know, then these legislators take it back to their individual states and say, hey, look at what I went to this meeting and look at what I came up with. That's absolute nonsense. Here's the thing. It was all pre-written, preconceived, set up, said, oh, here, Mr. State Senator, take this back to your, you know, committee on railroads or environment or water and, you know, appropriations or whatever it might be, and go ahead and present this. Oh, and meanwhile, there are 25 other guys that are going to do the very same thing in a number of other states. So it creates this wave of, oh, front running, if you want to use it that way, or some people say buzz, you know, things
might
like
even,
that.
Might even be a little, might even be a little rum running, who knows?
Well, you know, but here's the thing. It's not what we had envisioned when you send up a local representative, some guy that works part-time up there, right? Most of these guys don't get paid more than about $17,000 or $20,000 a year, depending on the state they're in. They're only in session, 2 to 4 months every year, or maybe twice a year, depending on how complicated the state is. I'm sure California and New York are far more sophisticated in that than, say, Indiana or, you know, Iowa. But the fact of the matter is a lot of this stuff has just gotten completely out of hand. And it's interesting that you brought this up, because this is what's happening. These folks, this is classic PPP, because these folks are looking out for themselves. The laundry list of corporations is just off the chain. Off the chain. You start with Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, the aspirin people, but they don't make money from aspirin anymore. They're into chemicals. They're into all kinds of other things, medical equipment, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? You know, that probably came from their involvement in these health exchanges. So you can really go into this, and it was fascinating. The more I dug, the worse it got.
Well, having said that,
I don't know where to go next, Jim.
I just want to you go ahead and finish up, and then I want to mention a couple of specific areas. I won't get into Obamacare or medical today, but that's certainly a big one. I mean, there's a lot going on there, and of course, a lot of what they're doing with medical is supposedly to return it to something that it was, but if you look at what they're really doing, they're not doing that, because they really don't repeal and replace anything. They just tweak around the edges to make some changes. That's what they do.
Well, I thought when I was looking at this, it's just like, well, it sounds great. You know, when you read the official site, it's, oh, well, you know, we're doing this and we're in business, you know, rah-rah business and all that. Well, hold on a minute. These folks have turned this thing on its head and are now involved in, direct influence.
The people who were supposed to.
The people
who were supposed to represent us are, in effect, representing them, which we know anyway. We know that big business, the big groups, you know, and not, it's not always business. Sometimes it's labor if it's with the other party or wherever you are. But these huge groups have undue influence over the politicians so that they're really there as their representatives instead of those that vote for them. And that's one of the reasons why the public is in such turmoil today, because they finally started to figure things out.
I would agree with you. I mean, I did not realize that the depth of the manipulation, if you want to call it that, it's astonishing. And it, to be perfectly honest with you, it probably does it on a municipal level as well. But you wonder why crony capitalists have run amok. It's because they're everywhere. You know,
you're right.
Sort of rigged the system so that, you know, individual or, well, yeah, I guess I could often go there. Your vote doesn't mean as much as our vote, right? So a corporation
doesn't mean much at all.
$25,000. Yeah. Well, a corporation that spends $25,000 to go ahead and join this council winds up receiving an inordinate amount of influence over what comes out of these legislatures. And it's one of these things.
I didn't realize. It's a mega lobbying group. It's a mega lobbying group on steroids. And what makes it so powerful, Mark, is, you know, when these guys go into session, and this is state legislation we're talking about, folks. ALEC is with state legislation. The feds got their own issues, but it's an organization that works with state legislatures. So what they do is they know that these legislatures are only in session, most of them, for 60 days a year. Sometimes they stretch out a little bit. Some might even be less. I think some are every other year. But here's what they do. They basically talk to the legislatures and kind of find out from the guys, well, what kind of areas are y'all concerned about, blah, blah. And then they basically go and prepare a draft bill in those subject areas, because there are lots of bills involved. And what they do then is, you know, they find a place where it's been used, something similar, and they tweak it a little bit. And so then they take their little representatives, go out, you know, kind of like a Monsanto salesman. And they go out to the legislative bodies, you know, when they're in the pre-sessions. Because what the legislatures do, they first meet with committees before the sessions even started. They'll be in Tallahassee or wherever for a month or two, and they're formulating. Plus, they get back and forth sometimes at different times throughout the year, and they formulate these plans. So the ALEC guys basically do the legwork. They put the paperwork together. They tweak it with these guys. You know, they make a few changes because some states, now we can't say that. We want it a little bit differently. But it still has the same kind of end result. And so then when the session's ready to go, they come in the door, give to the leadership of the House or the state Senate, or in the case of Nebraska, the unicameral legislature, whoever's in charge of that, and they give them these documents. It goes out to the appropriate committee chairman, and they do their internal review of it, and bingo, all they got to do is put the name of the state in the blanks. I mean, that's really what's going on in a lot of this stuff. So you know, and then private citizen, you know, John Doe wants to go in and he's got a problem with it. You know, they look at him like, oh, what are you talking about, pal? We've done all this research. We get all this stuff done. And the average guy thinks, whoa, these guys are working hard. Well, no, they aren't. I mean, they're working hard in terms of they review it. But and I know their time is tight. But after all, they did voluntarily decide to go run for office. So this goes on like that. And if you ever go to a state legislative session and you have a complaint or an issue with something they've got proposed in a bill, you will learn real quickly that they, frankly, don't give a damn, because they've got their marching orders set in concrete and they're ready to go. Oh, they might say some nice words. I mean, I had one guy last year when we were fighting on this land issue locally, and we went to Tallahassee on about four or five different occasions. And then the whole time I was up there, one state senator even expressed concern. Only one. Most of them just sit there and look at you with a stone face, or they're playing with their iPhone, or they're reading the newspaper, or some of them even have their back to you, because you go into committee rooms where half of them, you got the back facing you. So they're not at all They don't even care about being responsive to the public. And I'm sorry if anybody listening is a state senator, because there is one that sometimes listens. But I got to tell you this. Perception is 9/10 of the law. And so when
right.
citizens take the time to drive 5 hours, you know, leaving at 4:30 in the morning to go to a legislative hearing, and that's the way the process runs, you're damn right perception isn't good. And it's not going to be good. And it gets spread around to everybody else. And at some point, it's just more of this snowball that keeps growing because people are just fed up. They think they're fed up with Washington, but really, they need to be fed up with Washington and every state capital, and in a lot of cases, local county commissions and city councils as well, because the same thing goes on at all levels in different ways. It's just a little more complicated the further up the chain you go. And that's
well,
the dirty little secret about all this stuff.
Well, it's true. Now, let me go ahead and come up with two more little paragraphs here. They're not big, but it gets to the heart of your point. Participating legislators, these are the guys, these elected officials, overwhelmingly Republican, then bring proposals home and introduce them in state houses across the land as their own bright ideas and important public policy innovations without disclosing that the corporations who are members of this group crafted and voted on the bills among themselves, right? Alec boasts
yeah.
that it has over 1,000 of these bills introduced by legislative members every year, with one in every five of them enacted into law. Now, if you think about 1,000 proposals, you know, well, that's a lot. Well, sure it is. If you only have 50 states, that's 200 per year, per state.
Yeah.
All right. So now what they're saying is, oh, now of those 200, we get, you know, 40 or 50 done. Wait a minute. So then they can say, well, you know, Nebraska did this, or, you know, Kansas did that, and, you know, why are you folks out here in Kansas or Nebraska not doing the same thing? You know, they saw that it was a good idea. Why don't you see it's a good idea? So it's very hard to stop the momentum once several of these states has been involved in doing, you know, whatever this group's bidding might be. Where it really kind of bothered me is that it's just one more example of another layer of lack of real representation. Now, I think this is what you're getting at, that you're right.
Well,
you've been
asked
to more of these meetings. They don't care whether you're there. They don't care what you think. They're not even there to listen to you. They're sitting in the chair, right, with your backs turned to you. That's just not right. And, you know, you'd have to actually track some guy down in some district, you know, whatever it is. There was a guy I had actually bumped into down in Florida who was a big wig in the state Senate, all right? And he happened to be in charge of the Republican caucus, which was, I think, 35 or 40 guys. You know, and, you know, he was accessible, but not in a formal environment. He appeared, popped over there. He'd come over and drink a beer with you. But, I mean, the thing is, once things were underway, they didn't want to hear from you.
Look, I'm going to tell you something here, and I'm not going to quote where it came from or who, but this is a true statement, and it was made by a sitting representative in the Florida House. And he was overheard saying this. And basically what he said was, this is a great job for a part-time gig. All you do is drive up when you need to be. They give you the sheet that tells you what's on the docket and point papers that tell you what the position is. You go down on the floor and you vote on them. And then when you're done and it's time to go home, you just go with your travel voucher, turn it in, get paid, and go home.
Wow.
That's exactly what he said. That's kind of like
now, that doesn't sound like representation, does it?
No, it's not representation. It's not representation. But anyway, let me just say that when we come back, I want to give you a little bit of example of about Alec, how it works with the legislature in a particular state, only because I did a little bird dogging here in Florida, and it's kind of interesting. And we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about Obamacare because I'm up to my talking about it. I mean, now we just got to see if we can't get things done. But I do want to talk about two areas that are very, very critical to us and which get a lot of play in all state legislatures and which Alec is extremely heavily involved in. And the areas are agriculture and education. So I'm going to come back. We're going to take a little break here. And since we're going to start off with education, nothing is more appropriate as music than what I'm going to put on now. And it's performed by Michael Jackson. You'll know it as soon as it starts. And we'll be back, folks, in just a couple of minutes. Folks, that was Michael Jackson when he was a youngster. He was a cute little boy. It's too bad that boy got into so much of a mess as he got older. He had a lot of talent. But I played ABCs because, of course, education, reading, writing, arithmetic, which is not what we do anymore. But we're going to talk for a few minutes. Mark is back with me. I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes about two areas that I mentioned, agriculture and education. They are two key areas that Alec is very heavily involved with. And then we're going to just talk in general about ALEC as, is it a conservative organization? Is it a crony capitalist organization? Does it have a little bit of everything in there that's pushing? And the answer is all three. Anyway, folks, let's take a look first at education. And when you think education today, all you can think about is Common Core. Common Core is this monstrosity that was originally generated by Bill Gates and a few who have this plan on how to educate children. And really what they're not telling you is they want our children educated to the point where they're capable of doing the types of tasks that the big capitalist elites want. In other words, they're going to be peons. They're going to be pawns. And if you look at the Board of Labor Statistics information on what kinds of jobs in the future will you find, in states you'll find a lot of fast food workers. You'll find a lot of agricultural workers. You'll find all kinds of things that ultimately don't lead to a lot of pay. So they're trying to march most of our kids down a primrose path, with the exception of the ones who really excel. The problem we have in education today is kids who are going to excel are usually going to do it anyway. They just got a natural drive, or the parents are pushing them hard. But so many of the other kids are lost in the weeds because they don't have a good situation, and we need to change that, or we're just going to be a land of the plebeians and the serfs. So what we've got is in education, Common Core has come up, you know, they put out basically through the Department of Education in Washington, but it's also been bought on by a lot of states, this grand scheme on how they want to educate kids. And basically all they're doing is teaching testing to the test, confusing children, you know, the new math. I mean, I've looked at it 15 or 20 different ways. It's completely wild. One of my routine guests, Meg Norris from Georgia, is a professional teacher, and she's also the head of Opt-Out Common Core in Georgia. And she has horror stories. She even had a psychiatrist or a psychologist on with us one night who talked about how these kids are being messed up because in such panic about this test. And they test every little thing, and a lot of it doesn't even have to do with what you really would need to learn to do well. Not only that, but they gather so much information on these children, and it's kind of like the Obamacare health information. They're building a database on everyone, and we're not quite sure what they want to use it for yet. But the state legislatures in most cases have gone along with that. Even where they've balked, they've tweaked this, watered down that, done other things. And I'm sure that Alec is involved in that because there are people all the time, you know, coming down to talk about it. And remember, what it's done to education, the only people making money at it are the big educational publishing companies, the ones that do all the materials, the ones that do the tests, do the books. That's who's making money out of this, and that's what's driving it. They are the ALEC representative types who are pushing this thing. And even up in Georgia, where they fought it very hard, they got a couple of bills through the legislature that would have done some good, and not nearly enough, but they felt like they were getting somewhere, and Governor Deal vetoed them. So that tells you what you need to do. Here in Florida, the same thing's happened, but Florida's pretty strong about it. But the governor, they tweak things and move some words around, but in the end, you know, you still got a lot of the same, pardon my French, crap going on. And meanwhile, the kids, well, they're just not prepared for anything. They don't know anything about American government. They don't know any history. I mentioned at the beginning about our founders. They don't know who the founders are. Stop a kid on the street and ask him who Thomas Jefferson was or Benjamin Franklin. They'll look at you like you're crazy. Was he in a rock band? Does he do rap music? I mean, it's crazy what's going on here, and we as a society are going to suffer. Then you go over to agriculture. Oh, man, and all you got to do is say one word there, Monsanto, GMOs, genetically modified stuff. And I've got a good friend who has a organic market, small farm. She and her husband are in absolute panic because one of the big developers that's trying to develop land around her uses Monsanto products on their land. And, of course, that stuff blows over next door and gets into what you got going on your property as well. And of course, the reason they don't want that done is they, you know, they grow their own stuff and they save the seeds and they can use them. You know, the Monsanto seeds are sterile. You plant a seed, whatever falls off, you can't use them. They're not any good. They want to monopolize food. Why do they want to do that? Now, there's a lot of push going around the world about it, but legislatures have gone hog wild for this stuff. They haven't had any problem with it at all. And it's just amazing to me that these guys just go along with it, and it makes you wonder why. And when you think about it, it's got to be money or power. Why would they do it otherwise? Why would you do that to your own children? I've wondered that about the legislative process for a long time. Why would you pass bills? Why would a grown man pass a bill to support transgender bathrooms and he's got a little girl in public school? And I can't figure out for the life of me. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, folks, but let's face it, some things are kind of basic, and biology is one. You know, you either are or you aren't. I'm sorry. You're born a certain way, and you can do all the cosmetics you want to change it, but it still doesn't change it. Still doesn't change it. Because the XY chromosome factor is what governs what you are, period. Didn't mean to get off on that one, but it kind of fits in there. But anyway, so Alec brings all this stuff down, and they put it out there, and they wine and dine these guys and lay it out for them, and the guys say, golly, Dave, we got 150 bills we got to get pushed through. Oh, man, these guys are already written it for us. That'll make it a lot easier. That's how they look at it. And then they go to the bar at night, have a couple drinks. Tallahassee, a lot of bars make a lot of money during state legislative sessions. And then they come up with their strategy to how to get it through. And meanwhile, the public gets wind of it, goes and complains, and they sit and just kind of stare at you. And then they do what they want.
Well, you know, Jim, by then it's too late. It's already in the process. There are no hearings.
Yep.
There's no discussion of what, you know, the thing that calls me is, well, if we're going to do this, what does this mean? Well, you know, you want complete authority and some sort of legal exemption for doing this, where if you pollute somebody's ground through, you know, either the spraying and this glyphosate or whatever the stuff is called, I have a hard time pronouncing that word. But the active ingredient in some of these weed killers, okay, and that reaches over into somebody's property. Well, it's not your fault. You can't come back to me and say, hey, stop this, because that's going to interfere with my profit. Just a minute.
Well,
there's a point
the courts
in which
always
there's
rule
corporate
on their
responsibility. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the courts rule on their behalf. I mean,
right.
if the city of Gainesville, Florida, comes out here near me and decides they want to buy a piece of land and they want to use it to put in some new, huge wells for city water, and my well goes dry, I'm out of luck. That's the way it works, and that's what these big ag companies do. That's, you know, think about agriculture. The thing about the small American farmers rapidly becoming a myth because most of them are going out of business. Because they can't do it anymore. And the big ag guys go around and buy up their land. And they decide, well, we're either going to keep using it as a farm or we'll turn around and develop it. You know, just like
right.
The timber companies do. You know, they're a form of farming, basically. They farm trees. But they get tired of farming trees because not enough money in it. So they turn around, well, let's see. We can go in here and let's see. If we change this from agricultural land, get it rezoned to multi-use, you know, we can take $1,200 an acre and take it up to $60,000. Wow. Good deal. That's what goes on. And it's
right.
It's all legal.
And you know, the thing
it's
is,
legal.
It doesn't cost
you know,
that much money to go ahead and get into the lobbying and the politics of all of that. So, you know, their investment is relatively small relative to their potential return.
Sure.
All we have to do is, you know, 10,000 here, maybe 50,000 there. We do a couple of, site plans. Say there's another couple of 100,000. But on, you know, 5, 10, 15,000 acres, you multiply the value of that by a factor of 10 or more. You know, your $250,000 legislative investment is just, you know, your return on that is outrageous. And what is happening here is that rights are being trampled, right? You know, and this is what, pardon me, this is what Alec is part and parcel of. And I think this is what you were getting at when we were talking this over. Your individual property rights, your well-being, your representation are just not that important. When it comes to the larger, corporate entities who have banded together to change things. I mean, this is TPP. This is what, you know, this Trans-Pacific Partnership is all about. You cannot fight back. Your local community cannot say, you know, you guys polluted our water. We've got, you know, we've got to truck water in here. Well, that's too bad. We're entitled to use our chemicals. Well, wait a minute. What about the people who are entitled to drink healthy water? So, you know, here's some small municipality out in the middle of nowhere, doesn't have, you know, any clean wells anymore and or due to, you know, a variety of different factors. But let's just say there was some contamination. Well, what are you supposed to do? We don't have the money to purify that, and some of this stuff is heavy metals. So we've got to truck water in from somewhere else. And so suddenly our water bill goes from, say, $15 a month to $75 or $100 a month. And you've got to go out and, you know, buy bottled water at your store and all that. Meanwhile, Nestle's going, we love it. Right?
Well, by the way,
the water
Peter Brabeck, the chairman of Nestle, made a speech where he said that individual citizens have no right to water. He made that in a big meeting.
Well, he can kiss my individual citizen rear end. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, I look at it this way. You know, what about, you know, health and you know.
Well,
basic rights here. Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That means clean water. Yeah, go ahead.
You think? Now, you know, now one of Nestle's biggest products, of course, now is water. A lot of people don't realize that, but they're huge in bottled water. And so he was looking for a new stream for his water because California was going dry. They were sucking California dry when it was already dry. Well, so he started having problems. So he moved part of his operation over here to Florida to Air Springs, and he did a deal with Scott. Good old Governor Scott says, you can ship it out of – if you ship it out of Jacksonville, it out of Jacksonville, we'll let you have some of the water. So the governor's trying to build a port. I guess he's going to have 5 trillion containers full of Nestle water going to China or something. I don't know. It's just crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, what they're doing to Lake Michigan,
yeah.
They've got their collective straw stuck right in the middle of that thing. And they are pumping it out of there as fast as they can get it out of there, right? So, you know, people are going to say, wake up one day and say, oh, my, you know, that Lake Michigan's down 10 feet. What? Where'd all that water go?
Yeah, you walk down
the
lakefront in Chicago, and you walk out down to the lakefront in Chicago, and you'll be able to walk over from Chicago to Michigan.
Well, you know,
so what is this, the Gulf of Mexico?
Right. Well, whatever, at the rate they're taking the water out, and you know, the ultimate irony in this is, we've already purified this water, distilled it, cleaned it up, you know, and now we're going to send it to sell it back to you for 10 or 15 times what our cost was.
Yep.
Well,
there is
such a thing as public, what would you call that, the commons. There's a public welfare that's involved. It's not just corporate profit.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a responsibility of government to the public, yes.
So, you know, what does this mean? Well, you know, it means that, you know, nobody's going to have water, and when we do have water, it will be metered. It, you know, they're talking about putting meters on wells now.
No,
don't
I know.
Come up
I know.
Here and try to put a meter on my well, or, you know, bad things are going to happen to you. But I'm sitting here thinking, well, hold on a minute. You know, I try to be a good steward, as I know you do, because you've got land and animals, and you try to participate in all this. But it seems like the game is rigged, and Alex is just right smack dab in the middle of all this. And
yes,
that's
yes.
just on the
yes,
state
yes.
and legislative level. So, I mean, it's to me, it's another one of those things. It's just another thing to keep track of. Just like Hillary Clinton's emails,
well, I mean,
where they
got,
go.
There's,
you know.
There's lots of them to watch. There's lots of them to watch right now, that's for sure. Now, let me just tell you, this ALEC organization, you know, it has a board of directors. And there are two state legislators from each state on the board of directors. The only thing I'm not sure about is Nebraska, since it only has one, it has a unicameral legislature. But anyway, so I said, well, I'll just take a look at my own home state. And I'm sure these are very nice people, so I'm not trying to pick on them. But I just want to point out something. We've got two, one from the Florida House and one from the state Senate. The representative from the Florida House is named John Wood. He's from Winter Haven in Polk County, District 41. And what is his background? Real estate attorney and very heavy activist in the Builders Association.
Okay.
The other one is a lady. The other one is a lady. Her name is Senator Kelly Stargell. She's also from around Orlando. She's got a district that has several counties in it, a little bit of Polk and Osceola and Orange, you know, big metro area type. And what is her employment background before she got into the legislature? Investment property manager. So here we go. Here we go. Real estate, development, all of that stuff. And let me tell you, that's what happens in so many places. You go to city councils and you go to commissions and you find lots and lots of developers, you know, that are on commissions, on elected bodies. So they're going to protect their own interests. And that's when, when I went up to Tallahassee, everybody up there on this one committee that was snarling at us, they were all Miami lawyers, land developers. You know, that's what they were. So that's what they want to do. They want to develop. And ALEC, of course, makes it easier for them to do it because they push it everywhere. And if I hear one more person tell me that, you know, you can't protect your property, it's not fair for you to stop somebody else from developing their property because of the Constitution and property rights. Property rights was never intended by our founding fathers in a day when America had 2.5 million people in it and had over 3 million square miles of virgin territory. They could never conceive of a situation where a stretch of land that's only 80 miles deep from Maine all the way around on the coastline, including the whole state of Florida, and then around up to Washington State, that 80% of the population would live in that 80-mile stretch right along the coast. And because that's been done, if somebody comes into an area like that and buys up 800 square miles, which somebody has done, and they want to turn it into cities, well, let me tell you what. Everybody around them is on well water. Everybody around them is on a septic tank. Everybody around them is going to be property because they will not be able to afford the conversion that at some point will be mandated. And something like ALEC will show them the way to do it. That's what I'm getting at. You know, there's got to be some kind of thought process that when we talk about development and we talk about growth, that we talk about it from the perspective of what its impact is on everyone, not just on a few. And that's my problem with all of this stuff. I'm not opposed to some changes. I'm not opposed to having an organization like ALEC that tries to put material together that I know a legislator's got a rough time and he goes up there, you know, that much time. But for them to have that level of influence and for these guys who supposedly represent us to just think, oh, that's quite okay, that's great, and they come back, tout themselves on the back and say what they did for us, and then 2 weeks later we find out our taxes are going up, they're adding a new fee for this, another fee for that. And, oh, by the way, we've decided we're going to put a city in the swamp right next to you. Something's wrong with that. I don't care. I don't care what your political. I don't care if you're a liberal, you're a conservative, you're a libertarian. I don't care what you are. Something's not right about that. And I think, and that's just one issue. I mean, we got many, many more. But land, you know, agriculture, land, education, those are super critical. Our food is super critical. You know, when we start allowing the Chinese to send food over to the United States and they no longer label it, we don't know it's coming from China anymore.
Yep.
You know, I used to love smoked oysters. I used to love smoked oysters in the can, but they were always labeled. There's no label anymore. And most of them are coming from China or South Korea. Thanks, but no thanks. I've seen the water over there.
You don't want to know how that stuff was processed, John.
Might not even be what you think it is. Mystery meat.
Well,
mystery meat.
The whole thing is we are just not being represented. Nobody really cares. We're just being told we are consumers. Go to the store, buy what you want. Don't worry about it. Well, you know, if you, in the case of these oysters, if they're contaminated or something, well, you know, you need a liver transplant. Well, you know, that's just too bad about you, right? So there's no fairness. It doesn't go back and forth. There's no redress of grievance or a way to make it right. And once they've got this in place, it's too late because it's going to be –
Well, it is.
It would take an act of God to move some of this legislation out to put something in more representative and fair to everyone.
Well,
but, you know, I don't have a problem with corporations.
What has to happen?
Yeah.
No, well, you got to have corporations. I mean, corporations, they create jobs. I mean, you know, but when they always use creating jobs as the basis for everything they do, when in fact that's not their primary thing. Their primary thing is just to make as much money as they can to keep stockholders happy. That's their prime purpose. And to get there, in many cases, they need jobs. Okay, and that's fine. But you need to know the truth. And the other problem is, and because we're sitting here railing a little bit about ALEC and organizations like that and about our legislators and letting this happen. But a lot of it's our own damn fault because we don't pay any attention and we don't demand things. I mean, you get Black Lives Matters on the street, and they get everybody gets concerned about what they're doing. Meanwhile, the average silent American, which is the huge number of us, sits back and just keeps taking it in the head, like somebody, you know, like prize fighter just keeps punching him in the right side of his head, and he gets punched right after a while, and he either decides he's going to stand up and fight, or he's just going to, I guess, end up with Alzheimer's at an early age. So the thing is. Folks out there, anybody listening, anybody that cares, you need to pay attention and you need to get involved. Be a nuisance. Bother them. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to come into like those people at Trump's rally, tearing up police cars and crashing windows and beating up people. No. But get involved. Go to the meetings. And it's tough. It takes time. Set up a little group where you can rotate it so somebody's always there to watch. Pay attention to what they're doing and speak up. Because I tell you what, and I'm not bragging here, but the problem we have where I live, had a group of us not spoken up 4 years ago, we would probably already have the development all in place, and they haven't gotten anywhere with it yet. And that's just a fact. So you got to decide what's important to you, and if you're not willing to do anything about it, then it's not very important. If Kim Kardashian or the New York Giants or the Miami Dolphins, you know, or the Tampa Bay Rays or whoever else, if that's what's important to you, just get your six-pack and your bag of chips, sit in the chair and watch it. And when the bulldozers come by or the schools get lousy or the water goes dry, next is going to be the electricity. You won't have them anymore either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as it turns out. Well, Jim, this was a great show.
Anyway.
I was not aware of it, and I hope, you know, your listeners now understand a little bit more of it, because sometimes you come up with these things, well, what in the heck are you talking about? But this is one of those things.
Well, that's it.
And here's – it dawned on me last night. Pardon me. It dawned on me last night. Well, for every one of these, how many others are from, say, a different – perspective, i.e. politically.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, is the Southern Poverty Law Center any different than ALEC? Well, maybe, but they do the same things.
Probably the big difference is violence.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I don't think jumping on a police car, you know, and in defense of your liberty is all that thing.
That's
but,
not going to,
you know,
get you very far, no.
No, it's going to take you the one-way trip downtown. But that's, you know, that I get it. You know, but you know, you say, well, wasn't that something? I mean, just as an aside, are the people crazy? Have they lost their mind?
Well, I mean,
here's the thing.
Not to change the subject on it, but I just had to mention this. I mean, so these people want to be citizens. They want to be welcome to the United States, and they run around at American political rally speaking in Spanish and waving the Mexican flag. How stupid can you be? I mean, people watching that on television, you know the average American who doesn't get involved, but they see that and say, what in the hell is going on in my country?
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
make
they
America,
burn the American
Mexico,
flag, they fly
and,
the other
yes,
one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Well, there's fodder for a new show, Jim.
Yeah, well, we got all kinds of fodder out there. But folks, I thought it was important you understand about Alec, and I want to make sure you understand that it's not just Alec. So don't say, oh, it's all those conservatives again, because I can hear my liberal friends now. No, they got plenty of the same problems, and they know it. But the thing is, once again, if all of us citizens, the ones who pay our taxes and don't cause trouble, if we all start looking at what's important to our lives, we will all find out that we have a lot more in common with each other than we do with the government. We really do. And then you can get something better in the world. Now, that's a little bit of idealism, but that's what you got to shoot towards, because otherwise we're going to destroy each other in the process. That's what we're going to do. I don't see any other alternative, and it's not a good one. So anyway, Mark, that's it for me. Anything else from you?
I think we covered it, and at least gave people some ideas. They can go ahead and try to look that up and root around and get involved. I thought, you know, that I learned a lot from this one. I didn't know that we were up against quite as much as, you know, now you know what you're up against. So it's larger and more pervasive than I ever thought. So
I started looking at it when, I started looking at this when I was dealing with the state, and I said, something's really fishy up here, you know, and then I started looking around. But anyway, folks, if you want to look them up, just go to Google and put in the acronym, ALEC, and it's the American Legislative Exchange Council, and go in there and read about it. It'll, and like I say, like Mark said very, very well, it sounds great until you start reading between the lines. So just look through it and then think about it. Everything you read these days, you got to think about it, because everybody's got a slant, including me. I remember the guy that I love, Neil Bortz, and of course Neil retired from talk radio, but Neil said, "Don't believe it because I said it. Check it out yourself." And I say the same thing. I tell you what I think, but, you know, people think different things. Just listen to it and then go think about it, and some of you will agree with me, some of you may not. That's okay. That's perfectly healthy and normal. Anyway, Mark, once again, thanks for being with us. I don't know what we'll do next time, but we'll come up with another good one. And what I'll do, folks, is this thing will be up and available on demand shortly after it's over. And if you like my other shows, last night I did one on this I-75 expansion project here in Florida for the roads. Us in rural areas, we're a little concerned about it, and so we're speaking up. Alec, of course, is a new one to look at, all the political stuff. And then I do other shows about nature as well as my God. And every weekend I do a devotional this weekend, and I call it Sunday Morning Coming Down. I usually put it up live on Friday night or Saturday morning, so it's available all weekend for people to listen to. This weekend, I will do a special Sunday Morning Coming Down in honor of Memorial Day and all those brave men and women who died that we might be free. So anyway, folks, that's our show for today. I hope you have a wonderful day. Be safe out there. Have some fun, but get your work done. And we're going to close out with what's the root of a lot of the problems we have with our political system and our politicians. Here's Clyde McFatter with Money Honey. Bye, everybody.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let him ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window and peeked through the blind and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. No, but
take my breath.